Today's March 7th, 2025. Current Bitcoin price is $86,215.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, not much. Just going meh like everyone else today.
We have, and you know, we'll go into this a little bit more in depth, but I mean, it's hard to not talk about the fact that we do have a strategic Bitcoin reserve that was signed into, well, executive order. And the price is going down on the news.
You know what? I mean, that's just kind of the name of the game. I mean, that's since the BlackRock thing, it just always does whatever the opposite of what you think it should do. So,
yeah.
That's just par for the course.
You know what I think is kind of interesting too, and maybe we'll go into this a little bit more, or maybe we'll actually explore it a little bit more in a later episode, but, you know, relative strength index for Bitcoin, like, is unlike anything else in the stock market. And so when the traditional analysts, like when Bitcoin gets above like 50, that's kind of like typically like, okay, we're kind of in a, we're in a good zone, like bullish kind of territory. But during like the bull run seasons, it'll get as high as, you know, 80. And the typical stock market will start selling off above like 70. They're like, oh, it's overbought. You know, they'll start selling because they're like, oh, it's too hot. It's like, well, no, Bitcoin runs at those high ranges, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, but the regular stock market, they'll say that a stock is worth holding if it's anywhere between 30 to, you know, 60. Right. And that's where Bitcoin is just kind of getting going. Like, you let it run. But yeah, that's another story for another day. But how are our theoretical purchases looking today?
They've been better. Actually, I was looking at some of the, I kind of put together a spreadsheet for, you know, the stock price or the prices, and as we go through, and I just kind of update it and look what our theoretical value is. But we haven't had a price this low. Actually, it's even lower than, it's the only date that it was lowest, or when we recorded, was right after the election. The day after, it was 75,000. And even the next few times, you know, it was 88,000. So 86,000 is a pretty substantial backward step for Bitcoin.
Yeah.
For at least while we're recording. Well, with that said, our point, October 2023, if you bought $3,000, you would have got 0.0885 Bitcoin. And today, that $3,000 is worth 76.30. Which, I mean, that's still, you've more than doubled your money. So you're still sitting fine.
Yeah.
Theoretical purchase number two, at the halving in 2024, is basically April 19th, $1,000 would have got you 0.01564 Bitcoin. And at today's price, that $1,000 is worth 1348.
Oof. So we're barely above water. Well, let's be fair. It's $348. So.
Yeah, about 35% up. But, you know, in Bitcoin land, that's kind of like, pretty unspectacular.
Yeah, I would agree. And I mean, coming off some of that news, and you know, one of the other things that we always like to look at in the beginning here too is the ETF flows. And if you got to look at that chart, I mean, it's not looking super pretty. There's still a lot of blood. It looks like we've had consistent days of outflows. It looks like right now we're at 22,421,000,000 Bitcoin that have been sold off
the ETF. Honestly, this chart, it looks like the Valentine's Day massacre, just red,
yeah,
with a few speckles of black.
It's awful. Yeah, I mean, when we look at that from the 17th, which was null, right? I think that was President's Day. Is that what that was? That sounds about right. Yeah, because there was nothing that day. We had one positive day on the 28th, and then one on the 5th. Other than that, it's been, even BlackRock selling. There's a lot of lot of blood right now and there going on. So it's kind of weird. I mean, if you would have told me 10 years ago that we were going to have, you know, the president signing, you know, basically Bitcoin into law, like, at least as a treasury type asset kind of thing, like, to me, that's pretty shocking that we're kind of going down on the news. But then at the same time, it reminds me of when the ETFs got signed.
Yeah. Or when they got finally approved.
Yeah. When they finally got approved, the real time they got approved.
Not the fake approval that was tweeted out.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I think this, the ETF, like those that have looked at the actual wording of the Strategic Bitcoin Reserve, I think it was worded about as well as you would hope. So number one, they don't have any, have you looked at it at all?
I hadn't, no.
Okay.
I was pretty busy at work today, so.
So there is no shitcoins in there.
I heard that part.
Yeah, so it's only Bitcoin. Bitcoin's the only thing that they're going to have as a strategic reserve. Now, what they're doing is they're separating Bitcoin from all the altcoins. The altcoins are going into what they call stockpile, but they're not technically the strategic reserve. So the reserve currently is capitalized by the Bitcoin owned by the federal government that was forfeited as part of the criminal or civil asset forfeiture proceeding. So it's what they've been taking from everybody else, right? That means yeah. It doesn't cost the taxpayers a dime. Now, the other interesting part of it, though, is that everybody's like, well, then they're not adding to the reserve. And it's like, no, that's not what they said. They go on to say the secretaries of the Treasury and Commerce are authorized to develop budget neutral strategies to acquire additional Bitcoin, provided that those strategies have no incremental cost to American taxpayers. So from that, I mean, they can wheel and deal. Right?
Yeah.
They can sell different assets that they may have and swap them over to Bitcoin. And I don't know what the exact amount was, but it was almost like the amount of Bitcoin that the government has sold off. I think it cost the American public right now, the American taxpayers, $17 billion from what they had already had previously.
And is that like in basically unrealized losses or something?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, what they sold off for like such a cheap amount, you know, I think there's a pretty famous Bitcoin guy. And I know this is just coming off the top of my head now, and I'm going to get his name wrong, but he bought a majority of that. I think he got quite a stack of coins from the United States government, you know, bought them cheap.
Yep.
And so now, I mean, yeah, they're going to start off with 200,000 in the reserve, which one of the first things is you need to stop the bleeding, right? You got to stop them selling.
Yes.
And that
well,
has been
I'm surprised
done.
That Biden didn't sell more. I mean, they did put him up a couple of times in the, you know, in 2024.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
The other part of that that goes on to say, though, is that the government will not acquire additional assets for the stockpile beyond those obtained through forfeiture proceedings. So that's where it goes into the stockpile talk. So executive order establishes a U.S. digital asset stockpile, which is where all the altcoins are going to go. Consisting of digital assets other than Bitcoin forfeited in the criminal or civil proceedings, but they will not acquire additional assets like that one. They're not instructed to try and get any XRP or ADA or anything like that.
I think that's good. I mean, I don't really trust any of those other centralized exchanges, so or coins, I should say.
Yeah, yeah, I completely agree. So, I mean, to me, I think it's the best of both worlds. Like number one, we do have a Bitcoin-only strategic reserve. There is a stockpile that is available, but that's probably going to be sold off or whatever they... I would say that could even be converted to Bitcoin, which would be kind of interesting if they do that. I don't know how much they have within that digital asset stockpile. It's never been disclosed or anything like that. But then, you know, they have that direction to go ahead and see if there's other ways that they can do it, however they want to do and convert. I mean, they could even lease out land to Bitcoin miners and say like, yeah, you can use our land for free, but we get a cut of the Bitcoin, whatever the case may be, right? There's a lot of different options.
that might be one of the smartest things the government has ever done.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Trump has said,
if they were to do that.
Yeah. Trump has said that they want to make the United States the crypto capital and Bitcoin hub of the world. Right. So to me, I think that's some really positive news. I know a lot of people are upset because they're not instantly saying, well, we're going to buy more. Trump can't do that with an executive order.
No. Well, at least he's protecting the Bitcoin that they have.
Yeah.
Granted, with an executive order, that can be just kind of washed away by another presidency. So I can see why some people are a little bit wishy-washy on that. But, you know, if they can get something through Congress where he actually gets money to be purchasing Bitcoin, I think that's going to be a huge deal.
Yeah. And I think Senator Loomis made an announcement that this next week's going to be a really big week for Bitcoin. So I'm hoping she has something in the works that she can kind of present. I think we're looking at July at this point is when they're supposed to have something on his desk. Is kind of the mandate that he was given with that first executive order that he issued. So I'm hoping that they'll have something that'll kind of give some sort of a ray of hope. I'm like, what kind of ray of hope do you need? All you needed was the strategic Bitcoin reserve and you got it.
Yep.
But anyways, the other thing that comes to question though, too, is, you know, I've heard rumors that China is saying that this is going to become a Bitcoin war.
No, that would make things very interesting.
Really fast.
Really fast. Yeah. I mean, you got to think if two of the largest economies or the governments for two of the largest economies start purchasing Bitcoin in some type of race, that's going to heat things up for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. So officially what that does is it puts the United States as the largest nation state Bitcoin holder currently. China is not too far behind. They've got 190,000. But I'm guessing the crazy thing about that, though, too, is that China is about to do money printing like we haven't seen in a while. So they may want to go after it with some gusto.
Well, I it's kind of hard to tell what's happening in our economy, but I don't think the money printers are too far behind here in America.
No, I don't think so either. It's kind of crappy to say. But one of the other things, too, that we got to talk about is that we still have the states that are working on strategic Bitcoin reserves on their own. Texas actually just had theirs I think it got passed through the Senate. It's still got to go back to the House. And then after that, it's got to be signed by the governor. But it's passed 25-5 in Texas. And when you think about this, like, it's funny, like in the United States, we don't think about this a lot, but Texas actually has the 8th largest GDP in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if they start doing that, and then Utah's supposed to be not far behind, or maybe like neck and neck with them on getting legislation passed, that fire could spread a lot quicker than what we think.
You know, and I've been thinking that I think it's going to be more of a state-led issue.
Yeah.
It's just kind of curious how that plays out.
Yeah.
So,
you know, and I don't know what's going to cause that catalyst. I thought the strategic Bitcoin reserve was going to do it. And the news starts doing this. And maybe this is a final shakeout. I'm not sure. I mean, we got up to 108,000, but I think the world's just kind of really, they don't know how to take what all is going on.
Either that or it's price suppression of some type.
It could be that too. I mean, who knows who's trying to load up bags right now? Like right after we recorded on Sunday, you know, we saw that tweet or that, it's not a tweet, whatever he wants to call it, a post.
Well, it's his Truth Social post that he basically just copied to Twitter.
Yeah. And it talked about Sol and Ethereum, ADA, XRP. And he did not mention any of those.
Yeah. No, he was talking about that over, you know, on Sunday, but today, only Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah. Today, it's only Bitcoin that they're going to talk about. Bitcoin is the only one they're looking to even add additional stockpiles of. Anything else that they get is just going to be seized and they'll put it in whatever the other stockpile, the strategic. It's, I'm glad that they're separating it. I'm so glad to see that, that they're keeping Bitcoin is Bitcoin only. One of the other things too, before we get into the jobs report, was the summit today, which was a big nothing burger. There was rumors going around that they were going to cut capital gains, or that they were going to be a lot more lenient on capital gains, because I guess Japan just actually passed some legislation to be a lot more lenient on crypto capital gains. So they were thinking maybe at least the United States would follow suit. Or there was discussion that maybe if you held for a year, there would be no capital gains on your sales. But yeah, then it turned out to be just nothing. Michael Saylor was there at the table. You could see him kind of just, I don't know, if you get a chance, take a look at his face. It looks like he's just like, what is this? Tyler and Cameron Winklevoss are the only ones that actually spoke, other than the president's cabinet people. Brian Armstrong was there from Coinbase. But it was just like, yeah, it was kind of a nothing burger. Like I said, it was just everybody saying, thank you, Mr. Trump. Thank you. It was basically everybody kissing the ring. So I don't know. I mean, it is what it is. I wish Cynthia Lummis would have been there. Hopefully she gets to feeling better. She posted that she had a pneumonia right now. So, and then the other thing that kind of spooked the market today too, is the jobs report came out, and it was 151,000 jobs that were added in the month of February, which was below the forecast of 160,000. So, and unemployment rose to 4.1%. And they're even more afraid because DOGE's job cuts are going to go into effect probably this next month. We'll start to see that on, or well, we'll see that on this following jobs report. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it's kind of funny when you're including government jobs in your jobs reports and your GDP, like all that stuff. I mean, how much value are you actually creating when government's doing that kind of stuff? That's my opinion. So, but yeah, no, it's definitely going to affect the jobs numbers next month.
Yeah. Yep. No, and I think it was Wednesday night. I was thinking about that and I was like, okay, we're going to get the crypto summit. I have a feeling the crypto summit, and I had a feeling the crypto summit was going to be nothing. And then Thursday night, he signed the strategic Bitcoin reserve. And I was like, well, maybe he will have something out of that crypto summit. And then I'm like, no, I bet you he won't. I bet you nothing else is going to come of this thing. And yeah, it's pretty much that strategic Bitcoin reserve. It's what we wanted to see. We need to see some codification into making it law, like with some legislature coming from Congress. But yeah, it's a foundation. It's a start. And I think it's a good start.
Yep. Well, I mean, I'm glad we're here.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, the market's not taking it as well as, I wonder if, you know, some people were already pricing in, you know, previously that, you know, the sovereign wealth fund is going to happen and America's going to buy some more. And then with some of that stuff not coming true, you know, the capital gains, I think that got, may have gotten some people a little bit worked up. I don't know. It just seems like everything kind of is deflationary when it comes to the Bitcoin price, all the good news. So,
yeah, but I'm like, dude, like how could you have got like the best things happening for Bitcoin right now and the price is going down?
Well, here's the problem. I mean, it's right now it's like $22,000 off of its all-time high that it reached, you know, back in January roughly.
Yeah.
So people's memories are short and their emotions get crazy. That's just how markets work. And Bitcoin, I think, is probably all of that on steroids. So it does seem like we're about to go into a recession.
Yeah.
At least it feels that way. Yeah. That almost seems like the narrative is, that's the narrative that's being generated. So, I mean, in the tariff wars and all that stuff, I mean, that could be really disastrous for all the markets in general. And I don't think Bitcoin's going to be immune to that.
No, and I think we've kind of talked about that on this podcast before, where, you know, if something does like that happen, where something really, really major, like a black swan event for the economy does take place, Bitcoin will suffer along with the rest of them. But Bitcoin, I think, would recover faster. I think we've talked about that on here.
Yes.
But at the same time, like, I don't even think we've seen drawdowns like this in bull markets, though, too.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't uncommon. It's just we've been kind of prolonged. I think the interesting thing is, like, in the month of February, we should have started to see the 200-day moving average for Bitcoin start to curve up when we look at the chart during the typical bull markets. And that hasn't, I mean, there was a slight uptick, but not the kind of movement you'd expect. So we really want to see that start to happen in March. And March is gonna fly by pretty quickly, I think. So we'll have to see.
You know, I've been kind of looking at different charts and, you know, different moving averages and all these different things. Like, there's the rainbow chart, and it seems like things were getting a little bit warm, but it wasn't going crazy. It's not usually Bitcoin ends with a crazy blow off top before it kind of loses itself, you know?
Yeah.
And we haven't seen that yet. So I'm still optimistic that there's more to go.
Yeah.
The only thing that's different is Bitcoin was created in the previous, you know, financial disaster in 2008. I mean, if we're about upon another financial situation, this is going to be its first real test.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I hate to be saying, oh, we're going into crypto winter right now, especially after having such positive flipping news. If this happened 4 years ago, you know, I don't think there was anything that could have stopped. We would have probably hit 100,000 at this point, you know, 4 years ago, and we were just basically getting going. And it was, and it came up in my phone history. You know, we had hit the 60,000 mark, and we were having a celebration amongst friends and stuff like that. Right. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I think we were already, by the time we had the celebration for the 60,000, we were already above 60,000.
Yeah, we were already above 60,000, but there wasn't a whole lot more left on that train before it.
No, because we got up to, what, 65, and then we pulled back way down, and then it wasn't until that following November or something like that, and we got up to almost 69, and it was just for a moment. We kissed the sky, and then we fell back down.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Just putting my cards on the table, I do think there's more to go.
But I do too.
You don't know. And that's why, you know, traders and stuff like that, the people who are really good at it, that's how they make their money. Most people just hand over their stuff to the market. So don't be like that. We're just going to keep hodling.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't sell into, yeah. I mean, basically you're feeding the whales at this point. People out there that are much, much smarter, or the sharks, I guess, as we've kind of talked about them on here before, they're waiting to gobble up that coin, especially when you want to sell it cheap. All you got to do is look at Michael Saylor. that fool has bought up a bunch of Bitcoin on the cheap.
Well, he's been buying it pretty late. Is he now almost up to 500,000 now?
He's at MicroStrategy is now at 500,000. Yeah. 500,000 Bitcoin. They have more than the United States government.
Quite a substantial margin.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what's going to play out. I'm still optimistic. I think we'll still kind of see, we'll see an uptrend again. But and I don't know if the market necessarily needs a catalyst. Maybe this is a catalyst that it'll need, and just people just be like, all right, we're done. We fleshed out some people. Let's move up. So.
Yeah. Yep. You know, I think the market moves how it moves, and we just create the narrative on why it moved. So it's going to do its thing.
Yeah.
And we're just going to justify its reasoning.
Yeah, that's a good possibility. I mean, who knows? Coming Monday, like, all kinds of crazy stuff could start happening. I mean, this Texas thing, if Utah gets a couple through, like, we may be like, well, that's what did it. That was what did it. And it could have just been, you know, market sentiment was about to do that anyway. So.
Yep.
Who knows? But yeah, just keep hodling.
Keep hodling.
And then if, you know, you decide you want to do your own self-custody, if you are in the market for a hardware wallet, you can get the Alipal or the Ledger through our website at www.thebitbytepodcast.com/deals. And you can always sign up for the newsletter. The deals, it just helps us out, gives us a little bit of a kickback for providing you a link if you enjoy our content. So anything else you want to add?
That's it for now.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. We hope you have a great weekend, and don't pay attention to the markets over the weekend. Just go do something fun unless you want to buy.
That's right.
Bye.
Bye.